Guys, I believe in a God who can change your life all of a sudden. That's what we remember every Pentecost Sunday when the Holy Spirit came and gave birth to the church. I want to talk about that, how God can change your life, leaning into that power, and also, this is going to blow your mind, a concept you probably never heard before, that we should imitate the Holy Spirit in the way that you walk into a room, interact with others, and how to you, who God's breathed into, can breathe life into the people around you. So we're going to talk about what that means and how to as we think about Pentecost Sunday today on the Chris Stefanik Show. I'm a dad of 6 kids and 5 grandkids, and I've been present for many births. And I gotta tell you, a birth is a bit of a shock. Why? Well, not because you're surprised about what came out. I mean, you kind of know what's growing on the inside there, or rather, who is growing on the inside there. But the shock is this new face. Like, there's nothing you could do to prepare yourself for the moment you're gonna see that new face. And here's this new person. It's like, hey, I'm dad. My first time formally meeting you outside the womb, and you know immediately, you see this new thing happen inside yourself. I guess that's the biggest shock, that I would die for this person that I've never met before. I never saw this person's face before. And then you have the joy of hearing that person's voice for the first time, and you're right there for it. You watch her inhale her first breath, and her first exhale is in the form of a cry. And it's that voice that you will always recognize. And it's your first time hearing that new cry. And it's a shock, because you know, like, whoa, that voice. I'm cued into that voice. I will always recognize that voice. I could be in the biggest crowd with tons of noise. And if that baby cries, I'm gonna know that's mine. That's my baby. It resonates with something deep inside your soul. There's the shock of a birth. It changes everything all of a sudden. Guys, so it is with the birth of the church on Pentecost Sunday. We can see that the church is forming. See, the birth of the church, it shouldn't come as a surprise. You can see the formation of the church throughout the entire Old Testament. You get to know the church and you see the church in this almost, you know, fetus form inside the womb. Fragile, small, walking with Jesus. On a stormy Sea of Galilee, the whole church is in one little boat that's about to sink. But really, it's in the hands of God. You can watch this little church almost disappear on Good Friday. And it's there for the resurrection of Jesus, hiding in the upper room in total fear. This church that knew all the facts, saw that Jesus rose from the dead, knew that we had the best news in all of human history, the best news mankind could ever possibly receive. Yet, with no power to do anything with that news, with no power to act on it. We knew it in the head, but it wasn't in our hearts or in our lives. And then all of a sudden, with the sudden shock of a birth on Pentecost Sunday, boom, the church is born. There you are. And at the birthday of the church, it's as if the church that we know today fell down from heaven in its current state. Because it kind of did. Look, in essence, not in the external expressions, but in the essence, the whole thing was there on day one. There's the great miracle of Pentecost Sunday. You see the Petrine dimension of the church. What do I mean by that? St. Peter, the first pope. You see the structure. You see the organization. You see the apostles, the first bishops gathered. Very shortly after, you have deacons. You have priests. You have sacraments right away. You have Peter, the leader of the church, proclaiming the gospel, inviting people to repentance. And they say, what are we to do with the news that you just told us? This is like the dream response of anybody who's ever preaching. Like, dude, okay, cool, I'm signed up. What do we do? And without missing a beat, be baptized. And we see that new church that's received sacraments, then gathering and fellowship and the breaking of the bread and the reading of the words and then service and all that stuff. You see that Petrine development and the structure, the visible structure, as if it fell down from heaven on day one. Because it did. But you also see that Marian dimension of the church. What do I mean by that? Not just the visible structure, but the lived experience of the indwelling presence of God and our response to him, the charismatic gifts. And you see people expressing all those gifts in so many different ways and being the body of Christ in the world. And boom, it's like all of a sudden I saw it forming and it's there. Here's the face of the church in front of us. The face of a church that would change the world. The face of a church that every follower of Jesus would know where that church is and hear the voice of Jesus speaking through his church, and it would resonate in the crowd, in a crowded, noisy world where so much is now in white noise, but you hear the voice of truth and you know that's my Lord speaking to me through his apostles. And I love the image of Pentecost that came before the day of Pentecost, after Jesus rose from the dead and he appeared to the apostles who were hiding in the upper room. And John 20, 22 says, Jesus breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. So on Pentecost Sunday, we see that fulfilled. The church inhales its first breath like a newborn baby from the mouth of God. And then she exhales her first cry, that cry that we never stop hearing when we follow Jesus Christ, that cry proclaiming the message of the gospel, but not just the message and the truth and the call to repentance, but also the joy of the gospel. There's no other religion that at its founding day, the world's first response was, hey, are these people drunk? It's only 9 a.m. That's the response of the world to the church, because there was so much joy that was an integral part of the message. The first exhale was the joy of the gospel. And guys, it happened, boom, with the suddenness of a newborn coming out of the womb into the world. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. With the shock of a newborn, boom, here I am. Wah! Here's the cry that we'll never forget that shakes the whole world. Guys, I want to lean into that word suddenly. How do you need rebirth in your life? See, sometimes we can despair or we think everything's done on our power, in our finite time. We're called to be faithful to God and to be patient, but I'll tell you what, he can move, boom, suddenly, and everything's different. Everything's new. Is somebody in your life far from God? God can change them suddenly. Does your marriage need a renewal? Are you living dominated by some kind of fear? Are you stuck in a sin? Whatever rut you're in, Pentecost is a reminder to avoid despair and to lean into hope and to pray with the expectation. I love thinking of the days before Pentecost Sunday. That's where Catholics get the word novena from. The 9 days between the Ascension and Pentecost, when Mary and the apostles were gathered in the upper room and they were praying, they were asking, they were leaning in with expectant hope that God's going to do something suddenly and everything is going to be different. Guys, that's how we should pray. That's how we should lean in, because God could change everything suddenly in our lives. There's this great Chinese proverb about a bamboo tree, that this one old man watered this tree after he planted it for 5 years, and he would go there and he'd fertilize the soil, make sure that the sun was shining on it, and nothing happened. And all of a sudden, it sprouted after 5 years and began to grow. And this is actually, this proverb is based on an actual bamboo tree, that this bamboo tree, this is crazy, can grow 3 feet per day once it breaks the soil, 90 feet in 6 weeks, 1.5 inches per hour. You could probably put your ear near the thing and hear it growing, guys. That's the kind of growth that God could give to you in your life explosively now. But what do? Guys, we got to be like Mary and the apostles in the upper room, waiting, hoping, praying. We got to be like that old guy in the Chinese proverb, continuing to water the ground and just wait on the Lord, because he can do anything. He can do anything. And sometimes we see the results in this life. Sometimes it's the moment after we're reborn into eternal life. And we see, oh, that's what you were doing all along. Boom, I'm this massive bamboo tree. God can change everything. But above all, here's the miracle of Pentecost. He can change you. He changes you while you wait upon him. When you lean in with the faith of a brand new church. Cardinal Cantalamessa said that the Holy Spirit doesn't make new things, but makes all things new. Including all the things in your life. And this is where the real gospel differentiates from the prosperity gospel. Some people will preach to you a message that, like, dude, just ask God to make you rich and he'll just dump money down from heaven. I'm still waiting for that one to happen, right? It doesn't. That's not what he promised us. But he does something so much better when he renews our soul. This is the promise of Pentecost. That when the Holy Spirit comes upon us, we're new. And in the Christian life, it can look the same on the outside as anybody else's life. You're born and you work and you suffer and you struggle and you pay your taxes and you die. But on the inside, man, nothing is the same. Nothing's the same. Nothing's the same when you walk through life with Jesus Christ. There was a bishop who later became the Orthodox Patriarch of Antioch, and he sums up beautifully the power and impact that the Holy Spirit has in our lives. I'm going to read this beautiful quote to you, his reflection. He said, "Without the Holy Spirit, God is far away. Christ stays in the past. The gospel is a dead letter. The church is simply an organization. Authority, a matter of domination. Mission, a matter of propaganda. Liturgy, no more than an evocation. Christian living, a slave morality. But with the Holy Spirit, the cosmos is resurrected and groans with the birth pangs of the kingdom. The risen Christ is there. The gospel is the power of life. The church shows forth the life of the Trinity. Authority is a liberating service. Mission is a Pentecost. The liturgy is both memorial and anticipation. Human action is deified." Guys, this is what God does inside of us. This is where renewal is found. Not this external thing, but within. I gotta tell you, there's so many voices within the church right now. They're saying, if we want renewal, we have to change all these external things, or change the structures and official teachings, or this line in the catechism, or put altar rails back. Guys, I'm not saying that all those debates are not important. They are. But I'll tell you what, guys, you want actual renewal and changing of the world? We look to 33 AD and what happened there. It's an internal change where God comes and makes us alive. And I'll tell you what, the rest is literally details. It's details. This is the renewal God wants for you. It's the renewal God wants for the church. It's the renewal that happens all of a sudden when the people of God lean in and pray. But let me take this message to another level that maybe you didn't see coming, because this kind of blew my mind. A very wise old priest, Father Brian Kavanaugh, introduced me to this concept about the Holy Spirit, that we should not only pray for the Holy Spirit to dwell in us and renew us. This is kind of crazy and a great thing to think about on Pentecost Sunday, that we should try to imitate the Holy Spirit. What? Imitate the Holy Spirit? Yeah, absolutely. Look, we talk about imitating Jesus, and you could see the things that he said and how he acted, and say, I want to live in imitation of him. Of course. I'm a dad. I love thinking about imitating my Heavenly Father's unconditional, ever life-giving love for me, in the way that I love my kids, in the way that I love as a family man and as a husband. Do you think about imitating the Holy Spirit? Let me give you an insight into what this could mean. You see, on Pentecost Sunday, what does the Holy Spirit do? He fills us with life. And the Holy Spirit's often called the Paraclete. And Gerard Manley Hopkins, he gave a speech on April 25th, 1882 in Liverpool. And he asked what that strange word really means. And he said, "For God, the Holy Ghost is the Paraclete." But what is a Paraclete? Often it's translated comforter. The word is Greek. There's no one English word for it. And he said, comforter? That's not enough. A paraclete is one who comforts, but also one who cheers, one who encourages, one who persuades, who exhorts, who stirs up, who urges forward, who calls on. What clapping of hands is to a speaker, what a trumpet is to the soldier, that is what the paraclete is to the soul. How cool is that? Guys, think about the impact, the transformation that happened on Pentecost Sunday. Here you have people who have dead knowledge in their heads, who know the motions they're supposed to go to, who know the rules that they're supposed to follow. And for them, it might have been just moralism, and I have this knowledge, but I can't do anything with it. The Holy Spirit gave them power and brought to life all that they knew. How do we imitate that? Can I propose a question for you? How do people feel when they're around you? What kind of impact do you have on their lives? How do you impact the room? And I got to tell you, you do impact every room you walk into, whether you like it or not. Your mood. Men, you walk home from work today, the guy that walks in the door sets the temperature in the room. I heard a great saying that we Christians, we should not think of ourselves as a thermometer, but a thermostat. You don't just gauge the temperature of the room, you set the temperature of the room. So how do people feel when you walk into the room? But I'm not the boss. Doesn't matter. You have an impact on people around you, but I'm not the parent of the house. Doesn't matter. Teenage kids, you impact how everybody in your house feels. You have an obligation to keep yourself positive and be a blessing, because that impacts how your family feels, your the mood of your parents, the whole place. I mean, the temperature can be set by what you bring into the room. So how do we imitate the Holy Spirit? How do we speak to others? How do we look at them? How do we treat them? Do they feel loved in our presence? Do they feel appreciated? Do they feel lifted up by the words that we say? Bosses, do you make sure that you celebrate the gains and don't just point out the gaps in your employees? Friends, do you encourage your other friends? Do you tell them when you hang up the phone, even though you're a dude, hey, I love you, man. I appreciate you. I tell that to my bro friends because I do love them. It's manly to do that. Jesus loved the apostles. John put his head on the chest of Jesus. There was an intimacy there. They built each other up with that love and that intimacy. Parents, how do your kids feel after you correct them? Do you just correct the behavior or also remind them, hey, I want you to know that thing you keep messing up with, that's not who you are. That's just a thing you're dealing with. Are you like the paraclete in people's lives? Are you that cheerleader, that coach, cheering people on in the depths of your soul? Again, Father Brian Kavanaugh, shout out to you if you're watching. Thanks for that. Blew my mind, life-changing. Tell you what, man. But guys, make sure all your words come from the paraclete dwelling within. But first and foremost, in order to be that for other people, in order to walk into a room and spread that kind of life and light and joy, first you have to let the Holy Spirit come in to the room in your heart. Ask Him to come. Ask Him. Just ask. What is it, magic? Yeah, it almost is, man. Not like conjuring of spells, but it has a boom, a transformation, a birth effect in our souls. Holy Spirit, I believe that you could do for me what you did for the apostles, and I ask you to come. Come fill me with your life. Simple prayers like that can change you. Simple prayers like within the context of marriage when I'm exhausted, and there's those moments in marriage where you feel like, Lord, I can't do this by myself. Oh yeah, I can't, duh. Holy Spirit, come. I call upon the grace that you promised me when I married this woman to fill me with supernatural love that I can't show by myself, by my own power, my own weakness. Help me love like you do. Ask the Holy Spirit to come into every dark crevice and every fear and every wound and every corner of your heart so that you can be a light in every room you walk into. Lord, breathe on us so we can breathe your life on others. I want to send you with this, guys. Those who follow my ministry know that I love Hawaii. I have family there and dear friends, my ohana in Hawaii. Maybe you're watching. Love you guys. And I've gotten to preach there many times, but there's a beautiful Hawaiian greeting, aloha. And aloha, it just means with breath. Actually, the word haole, which is what they labeled white people, means without breath. Doesn't mean that the white person's a zombie. It means this. The way they greeted people was literally, and this is one of the most beautiful greetings of any culture in history, literally to share a breath. You put your foreheads together and both breathe in. And then, you know, cool. I just said hi in the most intimate way I can imagine. It's beautiful, man. Now, a haole is someone who just extended their hand. Oh, he's without breath. I don't really get it, but okay, I'll shake the hand. What does that mean, right? Aloha. And I actually, before my kids go to bed at night, I often go up to them and share a breath. It's a beautiful greeting with dad. Guys, the Lord wants to greet us this way on Pentecost Sunday. Lord, share your breath with us so we could share your breath with others. Can I give you an aloha? There it is. I love you guys. Happy Pentecost Sunday. It's so good to be alive with you. It's so good to be part of the church with you. Happy birthday, Mother Church. Amen.